Hi, this is Dawn Sherman. This is my podcast, Anthem with Bipolar. So I'm going to do this and try to beat the sound of a Flagstaff wind, which is pretty incredible today. It's a balmy 47 degrees, and as usual, now that I'm in a home, but I'm not in a quiet home. Let's leave it at that. I'm doing my podcast outside in a most beautiful yet windy location. Possibly Miracle Deer will show. Who knows? I'm in a different area of this trail system than I have been. But, I mean, the deer have to come from somewhere, right? So they must come up the hill to get to the top of the hill, right? So I don't know. We'll see. They seem to surprise me an awful lot when they show up. So maybe today. I don't know. Can't say. So like I said, I'm outside. I'm backed up against a tree. Just ate my free bag lunch. And I'm kind of enjoying this, I'm not going to say seclusion, but privacy away from the hubbub of the house of, which I'm very grateful for the place I'm staying at, don't get me wrong, but like with any family situation, you know, it gets a little weird sometimes, and yes, I do look at all of us ladies and children as family, though, you know, we're not like blood family, we're not even necessarily chosen family, we are still a family unit, and let me just tell you a little bit about the place I live. I'm not going to give the name of it, however, it is considered a homeless shelter, and I mean, I guess that means I'm homeless, although I look at it more as just being displaced, because I put my place here in this place. Well, you know, and I mean, I do have the ability to, you know, get a hotel room if I want to, or get a roommate situation if I want to, and fall back into the same cycle, possibly, of craziness that I was in the trailer. And I don't want to do that. So, I'm choosing to stay where I am now and doing everything I can to give back to it, because I am grateful for the fact that, you know, I don't have to pay for rent, I don't have to pay for food, though I do still have food stamps and I bring food into the house for others, for all of us, actually, not just for others, but for the house. I can bank as much money as I would like to once I stop being stupid with my money and feeling like I need to overindulge to make up for what I have or don't have or gave up or, you know, whatever, however that works out. I had to surrender Peanut this past week because there's no way that I could have him where I'm at. And apparently the place that I had left him decided to either, and I don't know and I don't want to know, either A, let him run free, released him, or otherwise return him to the Humane Society, who contacted me because Peanut was chipped and let me know that he was there and what I wanted to do with him. And you know, of course I wanted to, you know, keep him and take him back. And I had all these bad choices of, you know, going back to Lakeside, going back into that trailer, going back into the whole insane situation of the people in and out of the house and all the stuff that, you know, nobody wants to seem to believe that that actually happened. But it did. And Peanut was being, you know, poisoned and pepper sprayed. And we were both in extreme danger. So, I requested that the Humane Society place Peanut in a home with children and, you know, a large place to play and a long-term situation, of which I thought I would be, because I didn't realize that all this stuff that had been going on, you know, when I still had Doc, which, you know, some of you might remember from the beginning, Doc, you know, my 14-year-old baby, I thought, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought things would change, and it only progressively got worse after Christopher died. So, you know, and in hindsight, you know, the way I got Peanut was probably not the smartest thing to do, because I didn't give myself any time to actually absorb the fact that Doc had died and that Christopher had, well, Christopher hadn't died yet, but Doc had died, and I just, you know, within 3 days went and adopted Peanut because I needed to fill a hole, which I'm going to tell you right now is not the best reason to get a pet, okay? If you have a hole, in your heart, you need to fill it yourself first and get help and, you know, do counseling and all that, which I did after the fact, you know, after the whole escape from Overguard situation last year, which I still haven't dealt with. But apparently, according to my dorm mates, I'm having night terrors now, which, wonderful, right? And, they said that they just started, so I'm thinking it's something to do with Peanut and the realization that Christopher is really dead and that he's not going to come and rescue me from Flagstaff, and everything that happened to me is real because the pictures prove it. Not that anybody else would look at the pictures or I even want to show them to anybody. I'm just kind of not talking about that, and, you know, I'm kind of just not talking about it because either you're going to believe me or you're not going to believe me. And if you don't believe me, then you're going to start saying other shit about me that I really don't need, because there's already enough shit being thrown around about me. And my eye, which is not right. As I think I mentioned it, you know, I got hit in the face. Well, in the face. I had my orbital broken when I was 24. And when I was smoking weed, my eye would go straight. But now that I have to, you know, be a clean machine and I can't use any, you know, mind-altering substances or, you know, truly become homeless if they UA me, my eye is not going straight. It's sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, but for the most part, it's not. And I'm looking at having an operation, right, which would have them actually remove my eye and tighten the muscle and then put my eye back in, which is just all skeevy bad to me, and I'm not looking forward to that at all. So I'm just gonna kind of go with the eye situation right now, and if it bothers people, then they just don't need to look at me. And there's people hiking up the trail with the most cutest dog with a bandana on, so I guess it's a sign that Peanut's gonna be okay. So, you know, it doesn't hurt any less, but at least I know I did the right thing for him, ultimately, though I don't know what happened in this two-month period in between, and, I mean, he's alive, okay, so, that's good, and I'm hoping that, I left him with management of Running Bear, okay, which probably wasn't the brightest idea, knowing how much they hated me, but I figured that they would do the right thing for him, and maybe they ultimately did. You know, I didn't call for details because I knew I couldn't handle it, and I told them, you know, the truth, that I was being treated for, you know, my mental health stuff and, extra mental health stuff, which I haven't really talked about on here yet either, but I might broach it today. And, the fact that I am displaced in Flagstaff, you know, which is 2.5 hours away from home. And, you know, it was just in Peanut's best interest, I had to surrender him. So that's really all I want to talk about, that, because, you know, I did what I could for him, you know, and I haven't thought about the cats. I left the door open when I was run out of there so that they could escape. And I'm sure that, you know, they found other places to go, or they just, you know, reunited with their cat, the cat, feral cat community out there. And, you know, I'm sure they did well. So, and I, it's something, again, that I'm not willing to delve into right now because I just can't, you know, my mental health is fragile right now, to say the least. The things in the house, as always, are just utter chaos and confusion. And you think that somebody has your back, and then you find out that they believe that you did something that you didn't do. So then they don't have your back anymore. And everybody's throwing everybody under the bus. And this bus isn't big enough to take us all out. So I'm kind of isolating right now because I just can't handle the bullshit anymore. And I'm just done with trying to friend people and let them borrow my shit and never return it, and using me and lying to me and thinking I'm a fucking asshole pansy. And I'm done. So, you know, my last quote unquote friend apparently thinks I turned her in for, I'm not going to say because I know management listens to this, but she thinks I turned her in for something. And I didn't, you know, and she's also going through other stuff, but the fact that she just became absolutely cold to me, I know there's something going on. I hear the whispers, and, you know, I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid. And, I'm just gonna leave it at that. I don't need friends. I really, honest to God, don't need friends. And I know that sounds really egotistical, but I don't need friends. You know what I need? I need me. I need my mental health. I need to start to feel human again, you know, like normal human things, like Yeah, I told you about the trailer, and I told you about how trashed out it was, and, like, the not having a toilet thing because it was broken. Somebody had shot through the back of the house with a BB gun, and, you know, the whole chlorinated water thing, which I'm sure altered my, my mental state. And the whole not being able to do laundry thing because, you know, people would break in the house when I was gone. And the whole being afraid to leave the house thing and, you know, leaving the pets because I was sure that I would come back to find them murdered. And, you know, and some of it maybe was, like, really deep hallucination and delusion due to the PTSD. But some of it was real. And most of it, I want to say all of it was real, but that's kind of stretching it. But most of it was real, and I actually have, you know, the photos and the videos to prove it, and I'm just kind of done trying to prove the truth to people, so I'm just kind of letting it lie, and they can make up whatever stories they want about me and say whatever they want about me, and at this point, I could really give a shit, because all the people talking about me are people that I don't really need to care about in my life, and that would be pretty much everybody in the house, so, we'll leave it at that. So, I started DBT last Thursday, which I highly suggest to anybody who's offered the chance to take a DBT class, Dialectical Behavioral Therapy. And what it does is it retrains your brain to think differently and not be so abrupt, I guess is one good way to put it, not to be so black and white thinking, to mindfulness, which I talk about mindfulness all the time on here, so you guys know I'm big time into that. I mean, it was only the first lesson. I took DBT 14 years ago when I first got diagnosed with the bipolar, so this is kind of a refresher for me, but it's, you know, a different therapist and a new way to teach it. So, I mean, I had my first session, and it was supposed to be me and somebody else, and it was just me, so I kind of liked that, you know, and it was on Zoom, so there wasn't any weirdness, you know, and kind of liked it being the only one, I'm going to be honest, because, you know, this whole anonymity thing, even though nobody really, well, that's kind of a lie. People are starting to know me in flag, but a lot of people don't know me, and I kind of like that, you know, and Lakeside was such a small community, you know, one degree of separation that everybody knew everything about nothing, right? Because everything was lies and gossip, and, you know, you'd think that people are telling the truth and they're not, and, you know, it was all about one-upping everybody else and just making them look like shit to try to make yourself look better, which is kind of the situation in the house, and I've lived it, so I'm kind of like, you're not looking any better than anybody, you're looking like an actual fucking asshole, because what are you doing, you know? It's like, we're all kind of in this together, you know, you trying to, like, backstab me and say I didn't do something, or say I did do something, or whatever, and the gossip and the slander, I'm not playing it, and, you know, if people think I have been turning them in, then maybe they kind of really need to watch their back, because I'm not putting up with it, and I'm not that I'm a cop caller or anything like that, but in this situation where it's like my life is on the line, and my home is on the line, and my sense of stability is on the line, and this is big time, you know. The trailer was big time too, but I don't know. This whole situation is, like, big time, and it's life altering, and, you know, the not having pets right now, and not having, like, any, well, I have support with staff, but, like, not having, you know what I mean with the pets, like, not having that unconditional love no matter what is really different for me. I had Doc for 14 years, so now this lack of pet thing is something I should have done before I got Peanut, and I have adjusted to it, and because before I got Peanut, I was thinking, you know, Doc was 14 years old, right, so he lived 14 years, and I was 55 when I got Peanut, and I'm thinking, oh my god, I'm gonna have this dog until I'm 69 years old if he lives as long as Doc, and it was only after I adopted him that the gravity of what I had done hit me, and it was like, you just made another lifelong commitment. Now, granted, this isn't, you know, I didn't plan to have a nervous breakdown, and I definitely would have held my responsibility with Peanut for as long as he lived, which was getting shorter and shorter by the day with the chlorinated water and the being maced and, you know, everything else that was going on. But nonetheless, I like to hold my commitments. So this thing with him was a real shock that my mental illness had actually, and I called it mental illness, had come to such a point that I couldn't take care of myself. Legitimately, I definitely couldn't take care of Peanut and the cats. I couldn't take care of my responsibilities as far as bills and stuff went. And then that fraud eviction just kind of sealed the deal. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened. So as you all know, I was already kind of like relying on God, right? And then the fraud eviction happened, and I'm still not sure whether, this is where it gets dicey. I'm still not sure that I wasn't neurally transplanted, or that somebody had put speakers into the house or something. It was just feeding me shit, or I don't mean like that, but you know, like mentally, or if I legitimately lost my fucking mind and was just full blown nuts. But the thing with that is that if I was full blown nuts, I think that there would still be remnants of it even here. You know, there would still be stuff that had happened there that would linger here, and it's not. So what happened was, okay, and just bear with me, guys. I thought I was the stigmata, okay? And there were signs and all kinds of stuff going on, of which I might have been being drugged, okay? I mean, that's always an option. And I literally was bleeding from my palms from time to time. I had holes in my feet, and I would wake up with thorns in my hair, okay? I know, it sounds crazy and unbelievable, but the physical evidence was absolutely there. And so I don't know, like, legitimately, if I was being drugged and people were coming in and they were doing stuff to me, and because there was pain, there was absolute pain in my hands and my feet, and I have scars, you know, I mean, people could have been drugging me. There was enough ways to do it. My house was never locked. Management would never fix that. You know, Peanut was becoming lethargic. There was all kinds of shit going on. And, you know, I have the pictures to prove there were people in and out of the house. So, I mean, if they were lacing my shit with LSD, that's a possibility. Meth wouldn't do what was happening to me. But mushrooms, I mean, they could have... There's all kinds of different possibilities as to what was going on. Or I just could have been going batshit crazy. You know, also an option. I don't know. Now, when I went to the hospital, I told them, and this is probably where the crazy part comes, but, you know, I told them I thought I was the stigmata, okay? And they didn't ask me for any reason why. They stripped me of my clothes, they took my phone away from me, and they tried to Title 36 me, which means that I would have been court-ordered into a mental facility, you know, basically the state hospital, for 6 months. Okay, so... I fought that, and I think I've talked about this before. I fought that and got a voluntary admission instead, which, you know, was a whole lot better than being court ordered, where I would have had an attorney ad litem. They would have taken over my money. They would have, you know, who knows what would have happened to Peanut in that case too. I mean, either way, poor Peanut took the brunt of this, from what I can tell. I mean, we both took the brunt of it. But like I said, I don't know how long he was running. I just don't know what was going on. I don't know if they put him back in the house and he had nothing and nobody, because they didn't give a shit about me out there, and they just really all did seriously want me dead, that they just put Peanut back in the house, and after 2 months he would have been deceased. So questions upon questions upon questions that I really just don't want to know the answers from right now, which, yes, is denial. I will agree with you. However, the amount of stuff that I'm going through in my head right now, that on top of everything else would probably literally land me as a Title 36 or a Title something else, you know, and I'd be Britney Spears, you know, and I would have no rights. So you know, and I... So back to the God thing. Okay, so here I am thinking I'm the stigmata, and I'm being led to believe that I have powers, which I do have some powers. I'm very psychic, and I've been experiencing a lot of deja vu lately, and, you know, I have other stuff, legitimate other stuff, documented other stuff, which I'm not going to get into here either, but that's what happened. So... in this place I'm at, we have chapel a lot because it's a very Christian-based thing. And I'm just thinking, you know, this is in a weird, 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 ironic way that this is where I was supposed to be put to help, not hurt, teach and learn and become more God-focused and less Dawn-focused, if that makes sense. And to, you know, keep up with you guys, of course, and let you know the shit I went through and the fact that I'm kind of coming out on the other side. Although right now, well, no, today I feel good. It's cold. I'm cold. Let me be honest with you. It's a little chilly out here. I don't know if you're catching the wind on this or not, but I mean, ultimately I'm okay, you know, and by talking to you guys about what my plans are, which is to just ignore the shit in the house, you know, keep to myself, do my, I mentioned the discipleship thing. I'm definitely going for it. Do my discipleship stuff. Attend all the, you know, all the meetings possible that we have during the day about self-esteem and, you know, we do, there's a bird, and do a lot of Bible studies and stuff like that, which I'm, you know, I'm totally digging it because I'm starting to realize that this is the plan. This might not be my plan. This might not have been the plan I made, but remember last January when I said I'll be out of this house by October no matter what? Well, guess what no matter what meant? No matter what meant that I, yeah, right? We just had this in Bible study. I killed everything that I was to become reborn. Okay, so I'm still basically the same snarky bitch that I've always been, you know, and I'm still stubborn and a little bit non-compliant on a lot of things, except when it comes to the house, because, you know, it's very important that I don't become homeless in Flagstaff, because first of all, I don't know the place. Secondly, winter's upon us, and it's a really bad time to be homeless in a place that you don't know much about, and burning my bridges here is not an option for me. I didn't really burn my bridges. Well, let's be honest. I did burn bridges in Lakeside when I first got there. I burned big bridges. And it took me a long time to get my integrity back. And so I may be, you know, displaced here. I don't use it as a crutch and I don't advertise it, you know, and I think for the most part look it. Although some days, you know, because we're not allowed to shower in the morning, I look pretty ragged in the morning when I'm getting up, but you know. It's not to say I didn't look pretty ragged when I was living in Lakeside when, you know, my water was being polluted and I couldn't clean my clothes and, you know, so, you know, 50-50 on that one, you know. You say tomato, I say Volkswagen, you know, it's all the same, but it's not. So where was I going with this? Well, shit, I don't actually know where the hell I was going with this. I guess I just really wanted to let you guys know that, as much as I seem like I have my shit together, I'm still screwing up. Okay, the thing with Peanut was kind of a grievous error. Although at the time, I mean, in my delusion, my PTSD or the neurotransmission or the whatever the hell was going on, because, it, you know, okay, so schizoaffective order, okay, right? Part of the bipolar. Now, schizophrenia is like a step up and, last week when I had my psych eval, the lady kind of broached that, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not schizophrenic, although, I mean, I don't know, I don't think I'm schizophrenic, I think I was just completely traumatized by what was going on in my house, the fraud eviction, the fact that nobody was believing anything that was actually going on in the house, even though I had video and, you know, photographic evidence, and the fact that even after the fraud eviction, I knew that Running Bear was still going to make my life a living hell. So, you know, maybe a lot of it. But some of it, you know, the stigmata thing, all right, we'll go with that because a lot of people who have, you know, mental conditions fall into that weird God vein thing. Okay, but the rest of it that was happening, shit, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I've had some pretty spaced out delusions before, and, you know, who knows? And if I was being dosed with something else, I mean, that just adds to the potpourri of bullshit that was going on. So, because, you know, I wasn't really fucking around with anything. Yeah, I was smoking weed here and there, and yes, the weed is a lot bigger, higher strain, and I know some people are kooking on the weed. That could have been a possibility. You know, the chlorine in the water definitely could have been a possibility mixing with my meds. And, you know, I don't know. So when I left there, my diagnosis was still bipolar, PTSD, and, well, the schizoaffective, and, what the heck was the other one? But it wasn't schizophrenia. There was, generalized anxiety disorder. Shocking, right? So Those are the three right now that are on my records. And, you know, these aren't new to me. The borderline personality seems to have dropped off. Although, when I first started DBT back in the day, that's what I was being treated for, was the borderline personality. But, you know, borderline and bipolar, like, definitely mimic each other in a whole lot of ways. So, I'm just kind of, I'm gonna play it by ear. You know, I have to, somebody remind me, I have to call tomorrow and get my meds, my med order back in for my psych meds. My blood pressure med got sent to Pine Top, and I'm just kind of like, well, we'll see what happens, you know. There was a lot of stress going on and possibly other drug interactions, and, you know, my blood pressure goes up and goes down. It spikes, and then it doesn't when I'm, like, super stressed. So I'm going to kind of let that one run out, and I'm going to see what happens. And if management, if you're listening to this one, I promise I'll stay on my psych meds, but, you know, we'll see how the blood pressure med goes, okay? But it's in Pine Top. If somebody wants to go pick it up for me, I'd be more than willing to let you do that. Oh, see, and I can still laugh, which is, you know, it's a good thing. So relying heavily, oh yeah, you know, and I think I mentioned this before, but, you know, I've started going back to AA. Not that I was drinking by any way, shape, or form, but the fact that I wasn't going to meetings and all this stuff hit me, and though I had no inclination to start drinking again, I was weak, you know, and weak people do stupid shit sometimes. And it doesn't mean if I hadn't been offered, you know, a shot or a beer or whatever, that I might not have been like, okay, sure, what the fuck, it's not gonna hurt me at all. And then, bam, I'm back on, you know, full-blown addict girl again. And this time it would have gotten so much worse because I've not been in that scene for, you know, 14 years. I got my 14-year chip, and actually, this is a funny thing, because I don't remember my sober date. I just know that I got sober after I got doc. So, you know, and and that's where it gets fucked up. So I think 15 years is going to come about March, April. And, well, that's when I'm going to call my anniversary, because it was somewhere around that time. I legitimately can't remember, but it was right around St. Patrick's Day when I got doc. So, you know, March 17th, right? Pi Day. So Pi, there you go. I make Pi Day my anniversary date, because it is somewhere right around there. So I'll get my 15-year chip. I don't know what else to tell y'all. I'm holding it together. Not to say I haven't had some dark moments and thoughts, but I'm hanging in there. So you can too. Oh, yeah, Thanksgiving. Do what you gotta do. You know, don't lie. Don't use excuses. If you don't want to do something, don't use your bipolar as a crutch, and don't use it as an excuse, okay? If you don't want to do something, be honest about it, because you just don't want to do it. Now, if it is your diagnosis that is making you unable, incapable, anxiety, depression, whatever, that's legit, okay? And your people around you should realize how legit that is. And if they give you trouble, just tell them to call me. You know, my number is available on the website, dancingwithbipolar.com. And I'll talk to them, okay? Because, I mean, I'll be hanging around the house all day for Thanksgiving. Black Friday, don't go out there and get all manic and spend all your money if you have money. You know, be reasonable with stuff. Balance, guys. Balance is everything. But yeah, I wish you all the best Thanksgiving that you can possibly have. Be thankful, okay, because we're still alive, all right? None of us have succumbed to that demon that tells us that we're not worthy of living, that, you know, we're not good people because we have a diagnosis, okay? We all rock it in our own ways. We are all superheroes. Remember that, okay? And, oh, just remember, oh, okay, and yeah, Kenya, thank you. Wow, in Mongolia, you're my peeps. Almost 7 months solid on Apple with you guys. And Nepal, is it Nepal? Kazakhstan. Man, I don't know who's listening to me there, but I love you. I love all my fans, okay? I love my posse to death. Back on Facebook, Dancing with Bipolars. Anyway, I have another webpage up, so just look for it. It has something to do with being a posse. Not an apostle, my posse, Dancing with Bipolar's posse, something like, that's awful, right? I can't remember. Dancing with Bipolar podcast posse. There we go. So look for it on Facebook. join. I'm back on Facebook too, Dawn Shireen Bernard, if anybody wants to, you know, keep up with me on my personal level. And I think that's it, guys. Again, I love you all. I'm grateful for each and every one of you that listens to this show. I hope you all get something out of it besides laughing and maybe crying. I hope you learn from my, you know, my mistakes and my experiences, and I hope it helps you. I really do, because believe me, you help me. So this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar, and hey, let's all stay alive, okay? Later.